morning, church. Morning. I've been up since like 4:30. I woke up at 4:30, but I didn't actually get out of bed until probably 5:30 to make the coffee, because I really wanted coffee. I'm so excited to be able to be here to share with you guys. My wife and I will share with you guys today. It's going to be a little bit different. I don't have a three-point or a four-point message for you today. I want to share my life. We want to share our life. We want to share with you guys who we are and what God has done in our lives and where he's taking us. So with that being said, we're talking about family. This whole sermon, this whole service has been family, was just highlighted again. And I want to say this one thing before I let my wife share, but I never really had a family, and I'll tell you my testimony in a little bit, very short. But I never felt in my life as much. Today was like the day that I felt like I had a real functioning family. And I was sitting there in the second row, and God pointed out Pastor and his wife, and he said, "There's your father. There's your mother. You've texted me this week several times, and I never had a father figure in my life. And it's hard for me to text back. Sometimes I'm like, this is incredible. Like, this is what I've been asking for. But God has brought us to this place, and he has given us as our father and our mom. And our kids' grandparents. My kids don't have grandparents on my side. And then I have my brother that checks up on me. He's my backbone. He's been a rock in my life. And my new sister, she's awesome. I love you. I love your family. This place is family. And I'm coming from a place where I've never had a family. I never had a dad. I never had a mom. I have a mom and I have a dad. My dad passed away, and I have a lot of brothers, but I never met them. So I don't know what that relationship looks like. But God has done something amazing in bringing us here and providing that for us. And with that being said, my wife is going to share a little bit of her story. And then I will share my story with you.
Before you do that, that just wrecked me. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it. But for those of you that are visiting today, this is Juan and Shelby Britos. It's okay if you want to clap. It's all right. But the Lord brought them here to work with our City Hope Corporation, our nonprofit, as children's specialists. That we decided to call it children? Youth? Is that what said? Youth?
Youth. Student specialist.
We've gone a few places with that. And we're also working at Crosspoint with our children and their families. And so I want to make sure they know who you guys were, because there's some people here today I'm like visiting for the first time. But absolutely. Thank you for sharing that, and to you.
All right, now I'm going to follow that. First off, just going back to what the Osborne family shared this morning, I have to say this because we are family. And some people know, some people don't, but we've had the privilege to know Faith since she was four in one of her, not first surgeries, but one of the big ones. And so I just have to say publicly that this victory with you guys is our victory, because we've seen so much life, and your kids are like our kids, and you guys are our family, and we've been through a lot of life together. And so we just rejoice with you all. In this, and I can't wait. Faith, I will get you chocolate and peanut butter all the time. You can have it anytime you want. We will make it happen, okay? You just like text me and we're on it, okay? Even if they say no. Got you, okay? But anyway, I'm just gonna share a little bit of who I am and where I've come from. I'm gonna start with the most kind of current life right now, and then I'm going to kind of backtrack a little bit and where I'm from. Currently, I'm on staff at a charter school up in Alpine, California, about 20 minutes from here or so-ish, if you drive fast. I work in the resource department with the school psychologist and children specialist, and see the behavioral stuff come in and out, see the ones that have learning disabilities come in and out, and God has really given me, in the last couple of years, just a heart for that. I never had done it before, and I really know that he's placed me there in that specific department for purpose in this day, and as these things unfold, I'm starting to connect those dots a little more with what God has planned for us and for our family, and what that looks like here and with City Hope, and I'm really excited for what that means and what that looks like. I'm a preschool teacher also. I haven't done that in several years, but that's actually my background, has always been kind of working with kids. So they always just kind of find me, even if I don't look for them, they find me. And that's okay. I love them. And just to backtrack where I'm from, I grew up on the East Coast. I'm from upstate New York, about 5 hours from the city. That's why I don't have a weird accent. And I've been here since 2001. So some of it's a little bit covered. It'll come out every now and then. You'll hear me. And you can laugh at me, it's okay. But I grew up in upstate New York. My parents have been married for, I believe, 39 years this coming August. They were saved when I was 3 and started to go to church, kind of like grew up in the pews of the church, went to a Baptist church, and so they were pews. And, you know, that's okay. It's okay. But my mom, our situation was a little bit different. Growing up, my mom was diagnosed when I was born with, she started to have some issues with postpartum depression and never quite recovered. And it actually turned into schizophrenia as we got older. And so she's been hospitalized several times over the course of my life. And so I grew up with my dad standing firm in his faith. People would tell him to leave. He would say, no, I can't. This is my wife. This is my family. I refuse. And so grew up going in and out of those facilities that are definitely less than favorable, especially when you're a child and you don't quite understand all that's going on. But he would bring us and we would visit and we would go home. Sometimes this would last for a few weeks. Sometimes it would be months at a time. Sometimes as I got older, I think the longest she was in there was like a year and a half, 2 years. And had some good years, had some bad years. Currently she's in a facility. Even today, she's probably home for the weekend, actually, which is a huge victory for our family that she gets to go home for the weekend. And so God's been faithful. And the reason I share that, and there's more to my story, but I felt to kind of stop there this morning and just kind of talk about the fact that growing up like that, you don't always feel like you have people. And you don't always understand. And like the song that Lacey led us in this morning, you know, even when I don't understand, I'll choose you. And that was what my dad really emphasized in our house. We don't understand. We don't have to understand. It doesn't take away the fact that God is good. And it doesn't take away the fact that he's still in control. And we still have to believe him, even when life is hard. And so that's just how we grew up. And, you know, in thinking about the children's ministry here in terms of what we're going to be allowed to be involved in and to kind of take on, you know, I think back to my childhood when mom wasn't around and she couldn't be around. It wasn't her fault. And I understand that. But there were people that stepped in and stepped up. There were people that prayed. And, you know, we've all heard the term, it takes a village. And I believe that with all my heart. It does take a village for all of us. But I actually believe more than that, it takes the body and it takes the kingdom. And we're the kingdom. We're the kingdom at hand. You know, like we have something inside of us to give. And we're going to see kids walk through that are broken. I was such a broken little kid. And it was the prayers of the people that came alongside of our family that have allowed me to stand before you today and speak in somewhat wholeness. Right? We're all still working on it. But I'm a little better today than I was when I was a kid and didn't quite get it. And I can see the goodness and the faithfulness of God. And I know that he is going to continue to pour out his goodness and faithfulness in this place and in City Hope and in this body. And we're ready. You know, my prayer has always been for the broken. It's kind of weird, actually. I've told Pastor Renee, I don't know why I get excited with words like trauma and brokenness and just like whatever. But I've prayed for those things. I pray for those things. And I pray that we would navigate them well because, you know, we're going to see them. The world is messy. It's ugly sometimes, but we have a good God and we have a faithful God and we have a strong God and he can restore and replenish anything that's been taken and broken. And so I'm so thankful for this opportunity, and I'd love to get to know all of you, and I will over time, and I promise I'll remember your names at some point, maybe not today, but I will try. But I'm pretty much an open book. If there's any questions, if there's anything else that you just like, hey, could you elaborate on that a little bit? I'd like to know more about your story. Please just ask. There's nothing that I wouldn't share. I'm going to hand this over to my husband, who will mess you up a little bit. I'm just going to be honest. So.
So I'll fair warning, I'm a crybaby. But only because I see the goodness of God in my life. That's why I'm a crybaby. And if you see me crying, it's because I realize that where he brought me up from, where he rescued me from, it's just, he gave me life. And I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for that. And you'll understand in a minute. But before I do that, there's a verse in the Bible that I fought with God several times over this verse because of what was going on in my life or what happened in my life. And it's in Jeremiah 1:5. And it says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. So if you knew my life, by the time I was 6, my dad and my mom abandoned me. I'm from Argentina, South America, Cordoba, which is a really small, well, it's a big city, but within that, there's a small town up north, mostly jungle-ish. And I lived there with my parents and seven siblings. I'm the youngest of 7. My mom and my dad abandoned me when I was 6, and I grew up on the streets from the time I was 6 until I was 12. I begged for food. I dug in the trash for food. I fished, hunt. I used to have a slingshot with me. And I looked like real life Mowgli. I don't know if you've seen that movie. But I was Mowgli. My hair was down past my behind. And no shoes, barefoot, just running around, walking around. And those were the hardest years of my life because I knew I wasn't loved. I knew that nobody wanted me. I knew that my life wasn't worth anything. That's what I thought. And all I lived for, my Indian name, native name, was Busca Vida, which means life seeker. Because I will always go and look for food, and sometimes I wouldn't even eat it. I would just give it to somebody else. And that was my thing. I will always go and get what I needed to get because somebody else needed it. And I knew mine was coming, but I would just do that. And I didn't know why. I didn't understand why my life was, why I was supposed to still be alive at that time. So by the time I turned 12, I was like a little older, a little more bolder. I was like, yeah, I'm big. I can do things. And I had a slingshot, like I said, so I was running around with some friends. We were up on a tree, and I decided that, you know, there's a car coming by, and I was going to shoot the car. Never seen a cop car in my life before. This was a cop car, police car. I shot the window off the car, and I'm laughing it up in the tree, and my friends are all running away, and I'm like, where are you guys going? So I get down from the tree, and the officer's like right there. He's yelling at me, and he's like trying to grab me, and I'm trying to run away from him. He grabs me, throws me in the car, takes me to an orphanage, leaves me in the orphanage. That same night, I escaped. I went out the window and took off running. The next day, the same officer goes back and finds me and brings me back into that place. They locked the windows this time. And I was there for almost a year. And I saw little kids come in, little kids go out. I was the oldest kid there, that's my Latino coming out. I was there for so long that I saw little kids coming in, little kids going out, getting adopted. And I came to a place of depression where I didn't want to be alive anymore. I was in the back of the room. I used to help the place. I used to help the assistants, the people that were there helping. I used to help them clean. I used to help them cook. I used to help them change diapers. I used to do all that stuff, but something happened that I was just like, I'm not going to No one loves me. No one's going to come take me out of this place. No one's going to adopt me. Look at me. And I was sitting in the back of the room one time, and this family walked in, this couple, man and a woman walked in. I'm sitting like way in the back, just kind of like moping. And they point at me. And I saw them pointing at me, and I got scared. And I said, oh no, what did I do now? Like, what did I do? I thought I was in trouble. And the lady that was in charge of the place, her name was Marta, she started crying. And she started grabbing all the other people that were working in the place, and they started crying. And they just kept going around telling everybody else that worked there, but they weren't telling me what was going on. And I'm crying by that point, and I'm just like, oh no, I'm in trouble. They're gonna kick me out of this place, and I'm done. So then finally she comes to me and she goes, Juan, they want to adopt you. They want to take you. They want to adopt you. They want to make you part of their family. And I cried. I was like, no, they don't. I was like, they don't want me. So I went to that family's house. I did some paperwork. It took a week or so. I went to their house to live with them. 2 months into living with them, they said to me, Juan, we won't be able to take you with us. We are moving to the United States and we can't take you. We have to find you another family. And I broke down and I sat by their bedroom door all day and all night, and I would just pound on that door. You're taking me. You're not leaving me here. You are taking me. And I cried and I cried, and they got tired because I kept them up all night. So they came out and they said, okay, we will try. We're going to try to take you with us. But it's impossible to get paperwork. It's impossible to get the authorities to sign you over to us so that you can come with us. 1997 was the year that this was happening. This family took me to the capital of Argentina, which is Buenos Aires. 17, 18-hour drive all the way there, and 17-hour drive back to where they lived. And as we're in the federal police office, we're sitting there. And I was just overwhelmed with emotion, so I started crying. And they're trying to tell the officer that they want to adopt me. But my family was nowhere to be seen on the other side, like my real dad and my real mom. So they couldn't sign me over or to begin the process of that type of paperwork. So the officers got a little bit suspicious. They're like, you're trying to steal this kid from the country. So they put them in an office. They put me in an office. They're interrogating me, interrogating them. And I'm just crying. So I just spilled my guts out to this officer. And I told him, look, if you don't help me, I am going to die here. You need to help me. And by then, this officer's crying. He's crying. And then all of a sudden, he stops crying. And he grabs me by the shoulders. And he says, look, I am going to do everything I can to help you. You can go back home now. He grabs all my paperwork. He takes everything. He tells my family as well, you guys go back. I'll handle this. He grabs all my paperwork. He drives all the way to where I used to live. He finds my mom. He finds my dad. He makes them sign the adoption paperwork. Okay, he drives back all the way to Buenos Aires again. He has all the papers translated from Spanish to English because we're coming to the United States. He goes before the judge, presents all the papers so that the judge can sign them. He goes back to his office, prints out all the documents, my passport, my DNI, which is National Document of Identity. I didn't have one. He prints that out. He drives back all the way to where my adopted parents and I lived, hand delivers all the paperwork within 2 weeks. You can't tell me that's not God. So I stand before you guys today as a testimony of what God can do. I thought I was someone that wasn't worthy of being called a son of God. I thought I was somebody that wasn't worthy of doing ministry in general. I was even to the point that I thought that I wasn't worthy enough to be alive. That's why I fought with God, because of this verse. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. And I fought with them, and I'm like, really? Like, come on, look at my life. And God's like, I can see your life. I got this. So God brings us here to the United States. 1997, I land here in the United States. I didn't know God then. This family was a Christian family. They were coming here to work at a church as associate pastors, volunteering their time while working full-time as well. They were going to travel from San Diego to Mexico back and forth, and they did that, and it was great, and I found God with them. I lived with them from the, I turned 13 when I landed in the United States. I didn't speak English. I didn't know how to read or write in English or Spanish. I knew how to speak Spanish because, you know, I had friends and I spoke Spanish, but I spoke mostly the native language of the Indians over there, which I won't say the name because I guess Latinos here, it's kind of a bad word for Mexicans too, so I won't say that. But I'll tell you later if you want. So I learned, and this is in 1 year, 1997, I got here. They put me in like sixth grade. I learned to read and write Spanish that first year, as well as learn to read, write, and speak English in 1 year. In 1 year. My accent is not so heavy because I worked really hard and I know God helped me. But when I'm tired, my Latino will come out. So yeah, when you see me tired, I'll be sounding all, you know, Latino, which is okay. But you know, nobody in my family has ever been to school, like all of my brothers or sisters. I have seven brothers and like three sisters. I'm the youngest of all of them. But not a single one of them went to school. I'm the only one that graduated out of middle school and high school. And even went to a little bit of college and ministry school, and I've done that. They haven't done any of that. And I look for the day that I get to go back and be able to share with them what God has done in my life. Because that's going to bring transformation to their life as well. And I'm looking forward to that. I was contending for that. Not only contending for that, but I was also contending for my wife's, for my mother-in-law's healing. But see, my heart is so that the families that come to this place will be able to experience God's love in a way that I've experienced His love. Because to me, he's real. He's like, he's dad to me. Like every time I talk to him, it's like, dad, like, dude, like, what's up, man? Like, what are we doing, you know? And I question him all the time. He wins, of course, you know. But I bring up the question because he's my dad. I've seen him. He's seen me at my worst. He's seen me when I had nothing. And he's brought me out from a place where I didn't have a family to a family. You guys have been amazing. Just in the past couple of months that we've been here, you guys have embraced us. And it's been, for me, it's a new learning experience and a new way of like, okay, wow, like, it just shocks me to see what God is doing. And then to see what He's going to do in the next couple of years coming here and what's going to happen for the future. But I'm excited, and I was telling Pastor Barry this morning that God gave me a word about a month ago. And how many, do you guys like to surf, anybody? I like to surf. I surf as often as I can. Yeah, what's up? You going today? No, what? Okay, we'll come get you. I like to surf. I love spending time out on the water. I love being out there just seeing nature and just surfing, seeing what God created and even the sharks, you know, they're cool too. I'm not afraid of them. But I was surfing one time. I respect them. Let's put it that way. You guys didn't know they don't like brown meat. Seriously, they don't. That's why I bring my brother with me. they like Canadians. They really do. It's the Canadian bacon, I think it is. All right. So I like to surf and I like to be in the water, and I haven't been able to lately, but God was, I was painting actually, because that's what I do, but, and God gave me a word, like, he just showed me a wave and a surfer on the wave, and a surfer going in with the wave and then turning back around and paddling out again. And I love, my favorite thing to do is just paddle out, not so much getting on the waves. I mean, I like the ride and stuff, but sometimes the currents are so strong that paddling out is pretty hard, and you don't want to keep doing it, because it's, yeah, you just got to go for it. But I got this word that, you know, I just saw this surfer paddling out and just trying to, you know, surveying the area and seeing where the waves were coming in, where they were breaking and going, and I felt like God was gave me a word for us as a whole, as a body, as a family. And sometimes our life is like that. Our walk with God is like that. We're paddling out, and the waves are the moves of God and the things that God is doing. And we're going over breakers, but we have to get to that spot, that sweet spot where God wants us to be, where we're ready. Like, the whole time you're paddling out, you're learning, you're listening to the word, and you're trying new things, and you're trying the stuff that God is telling you to do. But when you get to that sweet spot, it's that spot where God is going to launch you onto the wave. But see, when you turn around to, you know, you're facing the wave and it's coming, and you're going over the breakers to try to get to where you're supposed to be so you can actually catch the wave to bring you in so you can get that nice ride. You know, you can hang 10 inside and do all that stuff. But when you're out there and you turn around, there's still it's still going to take some work. You still have to paddle into the wave so you can get on the wave. See, and I feel like God is telling us that, like, it's going to take some work. It's going to take some work. But the moment that you get on that wave and you ride, that's when it's all going to make sense. It's all going to make sense. Like, I'm going to push you into new things. I'm going to bring you into new things. But that wave ends. And then we paddle out again. And we do it again. And then you paddle out again. And you do it again. And I feel like God is saying that for us as families, for us as His children. You know, we're not to give up. You know, yeah, you're going to get your moments of ups where you ride the wave and it's wonderful and it feels great. Riding a wave, it's incredible. Like, the feeling that you get from just being on top of the board. And sometimes I just stand there and I'm just like, wow. You know, and you see shark, go, oh, yeah, it's a shark. You know, La Jolla, sometimes you see them. They're not. They don't bite. But they really don't. They don't. They're leper sharks. They don't do anything. They run away from you. Swim away from you. They can't run. So, so I know that God has brought us here for a reason. I know that God has done the things He's done in my life for a reason. City Hope, we were at the schools the last couple of weeks, and I didn't tell Danny this, but every time I left the school and I got in my truck, like, I drove a block away and I just parked somewhere and I cried because I was like, God, you're crazy. You know, the stuff that I've always wanted to do, He's putting me to do. You know, like, we went to Reach Academy. Like, I left that place and I had to be in Alpine. I had an appointment that I had to run to. And I'm, like, driving up to Alpine and I'm crying. I can barely see the road. So I'm, like, on the side. And I'm like, Dad, you're crazy. Because everything I asked Him for, He's lined up for me. I told my wife before we resigned from our previous position, it was one of the hardest things I've ever done, but I told my wife that my dream was to be in the schools, and I wanted to go and be at schools and do life with kids and help these kids in any way I could. I could never have imagined God bringing me to this church for that position. And I just sit there and I cried. What else can I do? Because I'm like, God, like, you brought me from this 6-year-old little kid that had nothing, had no family, to living with a family. I don't know if I told you this or not, but the family that I lived here in the United States, I lived with them from the time I was 13 until I was 16. At the age of 16, they kicked me out of the house. I lived on the streets for a little bit here in the U.S. as well. But I graduated high school, and I got to work. When God has a destiny, when God has called you to do something or has called you to go somewhere, He won't stop. We can stop. We can think we're stopping, but He's not stopping. He's not done with you yet. I don't know who you are, where, I mean, I don't know most of you guys. I know some of you guys, and you're great people. Some of you guys that I've met, that I've talked to, you're great people, and I can see your heart. But I feel like some of you guys think that you're done, and you're not done. You're not done with ministry. You're not done with the things of God. There's a call in your life. He knew you before you were in the womb. So what I want to do, and to close, because I want to go surfing. I'm just being honest. Is that okay? But I love being here with you guys. We'll do family at the beach again. I feel like, look, I never, like I said, I never had a family. My first try at family is with my wife and my kids. Like, that's all the family I know, other than church family. So it's hard for me, like, as a dad, it's hard for me because I don't know, like, how to discipline my kids. I don't know how to do all this dad stuff, you know? So when Pastor Barry texts me, I'm like, how do I respond to this? Because I've never had, like, someone that cares so much, you know, like, I never had somebody. Like, he texted me on Friday and I was working. I didn't see the text. Actually, I didn't even see it until this morning. when my wife texts you, I think I text you on the phone. I can't remember what I did. But I saw his text and I'm like, wow, like, dad. I was dad, you know, because I was fixing my chicken coop yesterday because we live out in the boonies and we have chickens. I was fixing my chicken coop and I saw the text and I was looking at it and I'm like, Dad, you're incredible. Like, I asked you for a father figure. I asked you for somebody that can encourage me and pour into my life, and here it is. And I can't even react to it when it's right there in front of my face, you know? But God can do that for you. God can do that for you. He can pull you out. He can bring you into new places. He can take you to new heights. Are you willing? So what I want to do is, if your family's here, I would like you to get together with your family. If your family is not here, we're going to find people that will become your family. But I want to pray for families. I want to pray for people that feel like you're done, or that have felt like you're done, like there's nothing left for you to do. Because I think that there's still things in your heart, there's still dreams in your heart, there's still things that God wants you to do that you might not even know about. But I want to pray for that, because I feel like God is about to launch you. You're about to get on that wave, and you're about to get back, basically get back on the horse again, and let's go. All right, so if everybody could stand up. If your family's here, you guys can find a little spot anywhere around here. Anywhere. Yeah. Let's see where my... Nate, come on. All right. So wherever you guys are, as a family, my kids are coming. I don't know where they're at. There he is. There's Nathan. Oh, we do have two kids, Nathan and Abby. Nathan is 12. There he is. Come on. And Abby is 8, soon to be 9. She's coming. She's a little brown girl. You'll see her in a minute. I don't know. She'll be here in a minute. But I want us as families to begin to declare the things of God for our family. To begin to declare the things that God maybe hasn't yet shown us. The things that God is about to do. And just position ourselves open and ready for what he has. Because he's willing to take us, but it's up to us to go there. And to say, okay, let's do this. So as with your family, I want you to begin praying. Pray for your families, and we will pray over your families as well. But begin praying for your families right now. God, we just thank you, Lord. God, we thank you, God, because of everything you do for us. God, I pray, God, for each and every family in this place. God, each family unit, Lord. I pray, God, that new things and greater things you will do, God, with this families of Cross Point Life Church, God. I ask right now, God, that kids will begin to dream. God, that parents will begin to just hear the word, God, and hear what you have, God, and prophesy over their kids. God, I ask, Lord, that your wave, God, the wave of the Holy Spirit, God, will take this place into new levels, new heights, new places, God. Open these doors, God, so that people will flow in, God, and they will see, God, how the family units in this place, God, are united. How families, God, are fighting for their families. They're fighting for what you have for each and every person in this place, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do in this place, Jesus. God, bring salvation to this house. Bring salvation to the people that walk in the doors. God, new kids that come into the ministry, new youth that comes into the ministry, God, that they will see solid family units. We just thank you, Lord, for everything you're going to do, Lord. And we believe for greater things, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.